Well, we started a message series last week talking about the Holy Spirit and Pentecost and what that looks like for our lives. And I don't want you to dismiss this series as something that you say, well, I know about the Holy Spirit or I've heard that before, because I don't know that we can ever exhaust the power of Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit and his working in our life. The longer I've been saved, the more I discover about God and about the Spirit of God. And I just feel like, well, I thought I knew that. And then he just one-ups you and flips it all around. Amen. So we're going to turn today to Acts chapter 1. But before we read in Acts chapter 1, I want to give you a little bit of background. This is coming not long after they celebrated Easter, just like us. For the 50 days following the resurrection, Jesus focused on two things. If you remember, Jesus wasn't absent after his resurrection. It says that he went around appearing to many. Over 500 people encountered Jesus and preaching and still teaching. And there were two things that he focused on when he had this time period after his resurrection before he ascended into heaven. He talked about the coming of the kingdom. He constantly said, the kingdom of heaven is coming. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Somebody say, get ready. The kingdom is coming. And then he would continue to turn their attention back to the Holy Spirit is coming. Just say, it's coming. So Jesus wanted to ensure his disciples knew something. He said, I'm not going to leave you without what you need. This is the whole theme for today. He said, I'm not going to leave you without what you need. Right from the top, just so you know, I don't care what it is you're facing. I don't care what the burden or the trial or the temptation or the weight. I don't care what you're walking through in life. Jesus is not going to leave you without what you need to get through victoriously. Come on, somebody. So if you're wondering, well, what is that thing? What did he leave us with? Well, he left us with Pentecost. He left us with the Holy Spirit. And he said, just so you know, this is what you need to get through. If you are stuck, you need more of the Spirit. If you are broken, you need the Spirit. If you're struggling with temptation, you need the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. There's another who is coming. And Jesus would continue to use kingdom language when he would say things like, pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So again, before we look at that verse of scripture in Acts, let me give you a little bit of background on Acts, because Acts was written by Luke, the same man who, guess what, wrote the Gospel of Luke, right? Pretty easy. Luke was not one of the 12 apostles. He was actually a Greek physician. He was very highly educated and was a follower of Jesus. And he carefully recorded and wrote down what happened with the Holy Spirit before, during, and after Jesus' time on earth. Now, again, I wanted to point that out to you because he was a Greek-educated doctor. He was not goofy. He was not fruity, not nutty. Right? He wasn't like alphabet soup, like just all strange and out there. He was a pretty grounded, well-educated guy. So I think that's important to know when we're reading the book of Acts, that this wasn't written by somebody who caught wind of something, got overexcited, and recorded it down. He would have an education. He understood science. He understood the human body to the best of their knowledge in the day. And he recorded every detail of what he experienced. So Luke documented things like Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit was poured out as a real life event that he experienced. So Acts chapter 1, verse 1, Luke begins referencing his earlier book, the Gospel of Luke. And he says, in my former book, I wrote all that Jesus began to do and teach. Jesus gave instructions through the Holy Spirit. He appeared to the disciples for 40 days after his resurrection. Again, he spoke to them extensively about the kingdom of God coming. But Acts chapter 1, skip down to verse 4, he gives them this command and he says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Everybody say wait. Wait for the gift of my Father that is promised, referring to the Holy Spirit that was coming. And I'm just going to paraphrase some of this for time's sake, but if you go down to verse 6, the disciples begin to go back and question Jesus, wanting to know, well, when your kingdom comes, who's going to be the greatest among you? They still weren't getting what Jesus was laying down. They still weren't picking up that Jesus was getting ready to leave this earth. They still were hoping that Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman Empire and establish an earthly kingdom. But in verse 8, Jesus begins to refocus them and he says, but listen, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. All you have to do is wait. Now, I do understand today that whenever we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, I mentioned this last week, but it can tend to make some people nervous. Right? We're usually fine with God the Father. We're definitely good with the love of Jesus. But sometimes when we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, right? And some associate it with expressions in the church that I like to call a shake and bake and fall down and run around. Now, and I'm not putting that down because I will shake and bake with the best of them all day long, right? But just shove your neighbor and say, relax. We're not going to, well, maybe we're shake and bake later on. We'll see what happens. But the goal of this message is I'm still trying to lay foundation because I want us to have a clear understanding of the Holy Spirit's role in our life. Amen. So there are those who maybe have come from a background like that or just get nervous around things like that. No reason to. But and then we have people who would be in the other camp, like Acts 19, where they're going around preaching the gospel. And they said, have you received the Holy Spirit? And their response was, what Holy Spirit? We haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit, right? So they're two very different camps. But regardless of your background, I want to help you understand that the Holy Spirit is here. He is from God, is God, and wants to be present in your everyday life. Never forget the words of Jesus before he ascended up to heaven. He said, it is better for you that I go away. Like it would solve so many problems in my life if like Jesus in bodily form was walking around the earth today, right? Like all of our questions, we could just go to him and say, how are we supposed to do this, right? But he said, no, that would be worse for you. It's better that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of you so that he can lead, guide, and direct you in all truth, convict you when there's sin, help you with wisdom, get you out of situations, remind you what you need to be reminded of. Come on. The Holy Spirit is real. It is the invisible but yet so tangible presence of God. I dare to say that most of us have, even if you're not from this background, have felt God, right? Like you've heard him whisper or you sense something in your heart and you're not sure what it was or where it came from, but I submit to you that that most likely was the Holy Spirit, unless you're on a diet and he told you to go back and get seconds or that piece of cake's in the refrigerator, call in your name. That wasn't the Holy Spirit, but Isaiah described it this way. He said, it was a voice behind me saying, this is the way. A voice behind me. You know, we, if you're like me, me and Sarah were talking about this the other day. I was saying, you know, I remember coming back from an airport early 2000s in the middle of the night, coming back from a missions trip in Honduras and it was raining and I had my GPS MapQuest directions. Come on, anybody. MapQuest, and we were cutting technology then. We could just print it out. We didn't even have to go to the map. But you had to make sure you pre-printed that thing before you left because there was no going back after that. But I remember having my pre-printed MapQuest directions on the steering wheel, but it's raining and they had a massive detour. Well, MapQuest could not help you with a massive detour. And I remember driving and thinking, no, when I get home, I'm ordering a TomTom. Do you remember TomToms? Anybody, that thing you just put right in your windshield, and it was like, that is so radical and cool. Well, sometimes I'll be just driving through the town and where we live, I'll put GPS in just because, well, maybe there's a faster way, right? But we have gotten so accustomed to having directions right in our pocket. Like, I don't even really think about, well, how do I get there? Well, just give me the address, text it to me, whatever, I'll figure it out. Don't you remember back in the day, it was a process to figure that thing out. Can I submit to you that that's what the Holy Spirit wants to be in your life? He wants to be not that thing that you got to work hard to try to figure out and print out and get posted in your car and highlight. And no, he wants to be that built-in GPS system on the inside of you that's helping you navigate the course of life to get you where you need to go. And when you go off course, you just hear that voice saying, rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. You can still get there. It's going to take you a little bit longer because you knew you shouldn't have gone there, but you're still going to get there if you stay the course. Come on, somebody. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. We need the rerouting power of God in our life. We need that voice, like Isaiah said, telling us this is the way. This is how we get there. This is how we do what we do. Last week, I told you that the Holy Spirit isn't a second removed cousin of the Trinity, but the Holy Spirit is the power of God. It is God in spirit form. The Holy Spirit is described in the book of Acts seven ways as one to be received, baptized, filled, fell on, came on, rested on, and poured on. He is mentioned over 800 times throughout your scripture. The Holy Spirit is a big part of the New Testament church. I dare to say it is the New Testament church. Jesus even said, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit. Do you know the core of who you are is not this body? There will come a day where you will close your eyes on this people planet for the last time, and your body will go into the ground like your forefathers before you, but it will not be the end of you. Why? Because you, at your innermost part of your being, are a spirit. And that spirit, once it leaves your body, the Bible says, is ever present with the Lord. So you are spirit. And God brought himself down as a spirit so spirit could finally talk to spirit. Come on, somebody. So he's invisible, but yet he is real. You might say, well, they're going to have to prove it to me. Listen, it's like radio waves. They're unseen. I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know where they're going. I heard that comedian, I forget his name now, but he was talking about, you know, if he got transported back in time and could tell of the technology of the future, he would be a zero help. And I loved it because he was saying, well, like they would ask, well, how does the phone work? Well, I don't know. It just, right? Like, you know, we didn't pick up on how we got there. We just received the benefit of it, right? So like, you don't know where the radio waves are coming from or how they're getting to you, but all you know is that when the phone rings, it means there's somebody on the other end of it, right? Like you don't know, can't see that there's water in our atmosphere. You don't see it, but you do know that it keeps you alive. Like none of us can see gravity, but you know, let's not put it to the test, right? Like, some may not believe in your brain because we've never seen it. And some may say, I don't believe in it because they've never acted like they have one. But we believe that you have one. Come on. So faith matters. That's why the Bible says all creation testifies of who he is. There's a lot in our world that we can't see, but we experience the effects of what is unseen, and the effects of what is unseen change our everyday lives every second. So I may not be able to physically see the Holy Spirit, but there have been moments in my life where he has been closer to me than the very next breath of air that I breathe. I told you before how I had a friend when I worked in as a store manager who was a Satan worshiper. And we just got along great though. It was like two opposites, but we were good friends. But I remember having a conversation with her, and she started talking about, you know, her worship practices and her candles and lighting all of that. And I said, well, we don't really have any candles or any of that stuff, but I'll tell you what, there have been times and moments in worship where it's like I have experienced and felt the power of God. Nobody's laying hands on me. The band was probably off key the whole time, but God was so real to me in that moment. He was just all over me. It's like I was in another place. How many of you have ever been there in your life? And she said, you know, I don't agree with anything about your God, but I will say this, I give you this, I've never felt anything like that. And I see that's the difference between religion and the fire baptizing power and presence of a holy God. Religion will teach you the motions to get through, but it's the power and presence of God that will ignite something on the inside of you. How could you walk away when you have felt the tangible presence of God? I believe that's why when you look on social media and you see a great, you know, we've talked about it before, but that great ex-evangelical movements, I believe it's because we have raised a generation who has known religion, but they have not known the life-changing power and presence of the Most High God. Because nobody needs to convince me that he's real when I've felt him. Nobody needs to convince me that God is alive when I've known him. When I just spoke with him this morning and he spoke back to me. When I didn't know what to do and he was there and he brought revelation to my heart and he spoke a word to me and it came alive in my spirit and his word became a lamp unto my feet. Nobody needs to convince me of anything else because I felt him. I talked with him. I sensed him. He's there with me in the car. He's there when I wake up. He's there when I lay my head. I've never called on his name and he's not answered me. So though many may walk away and leave me, come on, though they may reject the cross, I can't turn my back on what has been the realest thing in my life. So you are a spirit. But Jesus told the disciples, don't leave the upper room until you are filled. Get filled. Here's the thing about being filled with the Spirit of God. It's not a one and done thing. Now, let me talk to your flesh side, and I know for most of you, prayerfully all of you, this is way, 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 way back there before you knew Jesus, but let's just theoretically say you got drunk last night, wasted. You got filled, not with the new wine of the Holy Ghost, but most likely sitting here this morning, and I celebrate it. Come on, come on in this morning. I don't care if you're buzzed, drunk, hungover. Come on, there's space for you at the King's table. But sitting here this morning, the effects of what you received last night have either all worn off or are wearing off because it's processing out of your system. I watched this comedy show and this girl was had this lady had gone to a Christian youth singles mixer and they were serving some type of drink, whatever, and she thought it was alcoholic drink. And at the end of the whole comedy skit, she's like tipsy and falling over everywhere and being real overly flirty with everybody until one of her Christian sisters said, oh, by the way, it's non-alcoholic beverages. She sobered up real quick. Oh. But I say that to say is, And I'm not trying to compare the Holy Spirit to alcohol. I guess I am, but I guess I could have done a better sermon illustration. I don't know. But my point in saying this is you don't drink one time and keep the effects for a lifetime. But for some reason, we think that when we receive the Holy Spirit and he said, be ye filled with the Spirit of God, it doesn't mean that the Spirit of God leaves our life. But what it does mean is sometimes if we're not knitted in, if we disconnect from the vine, we begin to leak a little bit. So he says, what do? You got to get filled again. You got to stay full of the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is invisible, but he's real, and he wants to fill us with Pentecost again. I said it last week, but we don't need another Pentecost. We already have one, and it still works. We already have Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit didn't go anywhere that needs to come back. We just got to get filled again. We just got to get on fire for God again. We just got to receive again. We got to connect back to the vine again. We can't wander away. We got to stay connected to the vine. Come on, somebody. So we need the Spirit's help in our daily lives. So let me ask you this. Do you need protection? The Holy Spirit is here to offer it. Does anyone need guidance, seeking direction and wisdom in your life? The Holy Spirit offers it. Do you need courage? Like Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times and then received the Holy Spirit and stood up in boldness and proclaimed the gospel. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is here to bring it. Do you need favor in your life? The Holy Spirit is here to bring it. He is your helper. He will open doors. He will close wrong doors. He will align your life. He's your helper. You know, I've prayed that prayer, probably more prayer than any other one that I've ever prayed, is that Holy Spirit, if this is of you, then open a door that no man can close. And if this isn't the right one, then close a door that no man can open. I'm trusting you, Holy Spirit, to lead me and guide me and direct me. Align my life with the Father's will. He's here to bring breakthrough in your family and in your marriage and in your relationships. He's here to bring breakthrough in your business. He is, remember I said right from the top, he would not leave us without what we needed. What is it that you need? The Holy Spirit brings it. So how do we catch the fire? How do we receive the fire? First of all, we have to understand it's a command, not a suggestion. Ephesians 5:18. Just to clarify, if you weren't sure about my other sermon illustration in comments, and do not get drunk with wine. Just to clarify. But be, come on, filled with the Spirit. But be filled. Those are words of command. Be is a command, not a suggestion. But here's the thing, God never will tell you to do something that he will not empower you to accomplish. The command of God is the enabling of God. So some of us think that coming to God and asking for the Holy Spirit to be real and prevalent in our lives is like trying to pry open a locked safe in heaven to get out the treasure. Like we're trying to pry heaven open to feel something. Come on, I believe that God is more like waiting at the door with anticipation. And the very second that you act halfway like you are trying to knock or open that door, the Holy Spirit just, come on, comes through and brings it into your life. This isn't a hidden mystery. This is an outpouring for all. This isn't something for the select few that are called special by God. This is for who would ever receive it and want it. All you have to do is halfway act like you want it. Come on, somebody, and the Spirit of God will respond and give it to you and fill you to overflowing. So the first step to being filled with the fire is to actually want it. To be reminded that you are asking for the Holy Spirit. Just want to be clear on what we're asking God for. Because I'm going to show you some scriptures later that relates him to a refiner's fire. His role is to lead, guide, and direct. Comfort, yes. Convict, also yes. So sometimes we want the Holy Spirit, but we want the Holy Spirit on our terms. make me feel good when I want to feel good, but don't you dare convict me of nothing. Don't you tell me to do that and I don't want to do that. Come on, somebody. But we are asking for the Holy Spirit. And guess what the Holy Spirit wants to make you? Holy. And guess what? He doesn't like to share. He doesn't like to share. So understand that in asking for the Holy Spirit, what you're asking for is not somebody to come in and throw you on the floor and give you some goosebumps every once in a while. You're asking for the one that will come in on a Tuesday afternoon and remind you, shut up and don't you dare say that. Hold your peace and hold your tongue. You better learn to be long-suffering. You better grow in that patience. Come on. You're asking for the convicting, holy power of God to be present in your life, to remind you that when you need reminded, get up, pick up the phone, call them and apologize. As I've been teaching you, when a believer gets it wrong, a believer makes it right. So understand what you're asking for when you're asking for the Holy Spirit is not an emotional high, but you're asking for something to dwell on the inside of you, to convict and to encourage when you're doing it right, but to convict you when you're doing it wrong, because that's the only way we stay on the right path. So we have to understand what we're asking for. And then you believe in faith and believe that it has happened. You believe and receive in faith. I've taught you it's the same principle as salvation. When you come to an altar and you ask Christ to come and live into in your heart, you may or may not have felt anything. By faith, you've received it. I wish God would just like come down and put like a stamp on our foreheads after we got saved. So just so we know every time we look in the mirror, like it's still working, it's still there, right? But he doesn't, because he says you got to receive it by faith. The same thing happens when we ask for the Holy Spirit. Often when we ask for the Holy Spirit to come in and indwell us and to fill us, for some, the expression of how that happens can look dramatically different. And we don't compare that, right? Because the Holy Spirit knows what it is that we need. But what the fact of the matter is, what I'm saying is, you don't wait till you feel something. You just believe by faith that you've received the Spirit of God. And then you go. After the disciples received the Holy Spirit, they went. They went immediately after and begin to be his witnesses to all people. Often, accompanying feelings are motion activated. I told you before, but the story of I heard of a woman crying over the toilet, asking God to increase the anointing in her life. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, well, the toilet doesn't need your anointing. The world does. So the anointing manifests in our going. Feelings accompany our action. Taught you what two Wednesday nights ago, that the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus gave him an impossible thing. He said, rise. There's no account of him feeling goosebumps, of an angel appearing over him, of a heaven opening. Jesus said, rise. A man who had been lame on his feet for 38 years. Do you know when the healing began to manifest in his body? When he applied his arms and began to lift himself up off the ground, healing came into his body. Why? Because often the receiving and the experience happens in the going. We put too much on waiting for emotional highs. God says, listen, I'm going to give it to you when you need it. But I didn't give it to you so you could give each other goosebumps on a Sunday morning to test out who was more anointed. I'm giving it to you to go out and bring change and impact a world who is dying and lost, who needs the saving power of the gospel. You really want to experience the anointing? Go share your faith. Watch the boldness that comes on you. You really want clarity in your life? Go out there and start telling somebody else about Jesus and be a light and watch what the Holy Spirit does in your life. It'll be incredible. But he doesn't give it for you for your own purpose. Come on. He gives it to you for a reason. It's for the going. So you don't have to wait for a mighty wind to blow. You just believe by faith, I've received the Holy Spirit. He's in me. He's here. He's alive. If I don't feel it on Tuesday, I might feel it on Wednesday. If I don't feel it on Wednesday, he might show up on Saturday. But I know by faith I have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of me. Come on. It's an ongoing relationship and not a one-time thing. Yesterday's filling is not enough. Yesterday's filling is not enough. That's why even when he would bring down manna to the Israelites, he said, listen, what you didn't collect or eat of this day, discard. Take nothing from yesterday, receive it fresh today. But I dare say we have a church who is filled with what I would call redline Christians, which are Christians who are always in danger of dying. Always on the verge. What you need is just the fresh filling of the power of God. It's a good thing to be encouraged by your brother or sister in the house of the Lord. It's a powerful thing to come together in corporate worship. We know, I've taught you this, that there's something supernatural that happens when believers come together with one voice and exalt and sing. It's a powerful thing. But if that's the only expression of faith and God that you have all week long, it is no wonder that the enemy doesn't show up Sunday mornings at 10:15. He knows, just let him go. Let him get their fill for 45 minutes. I'll meet him on Thursday when there's no choir, there's no pastor, there's no worship team, there's no greeter at the door. It's them and them alone. If you don't have the Holy Spirit on Thursday, come on. In Yosemite National Park, for years they would do this practice where they would push burning trees off the side of a giant granite mountain. And there was a process when it comes to fire safety, where actually firemen will go into a forest and they will ignite the low brush. And they do this for a reason. It's actually to prevent wildfires. So just hang with me for a minute. So to prevent wildfires from spreading out of control, what they do is they go in first and start a fire. Doesn't make sense, but it does. Because if they can get the controlled fire to go out and burn all the loose brush at the bottom of the trees, they know that in the event of a wildfire, there's very little or nothing there left to catch fire that would cause it to become out of control and begin a disaster that they may never get in control. Often that is the same work of the Holy Spirit. Is that when the Holy Spirit comes in, he comes in like that refiner's fire. And he starts to burn out the chaff and the small things that remain at the, in our lives. That if left unchecked, in the right environment, has the ability to cause a blaze out of our control. What am I saying? I'm saying he'll come in and he'll start burning out the bad attitude before it gets out of control. He'll come in and start burning out the inability to be patient before it gets out of control. And that's what they used to do. They would start these small brush fires, but then they would take these massive trees who were on fire and they would throw them off the side of this massive mountain, and it would look to the people standing below like this waterfall of fire. Something that they did for years. And people would yell and scream, let the fire fall. And then all the firemen would push the burning trees over the side. At some point in their history, they stopped doing that. People came back years later saying, where's the fire? And they were told, we don't do that anymore. This could be said of so many churches and places and people. That the fire doesn't fall here anymore. There's no longer a fire of praise or worship or joy or a fire of the Spirit. Gone are the days of the joy of our salvation and the excitement of serving God. Why? Because we've allowed the fires to go out. Let that never be said of us, that that doesn't happen here anymore. May we always be a house where the fire of God burns, where people who are lost and desolate, people who are discouraged and hurting, come in and ignite and receive the fire of God. That's why Matthew 28:8 says, "And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.'" Again, you know this parable of the virgins who some had oil and some didn't. They were left wanting and waiting because they didn't have enough oil to keep the fire going. Let me just read you real quick a few verses of scripture, and then team, you can come. Because I know I'm using this terminology of fire when I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, but let me just show you in the Bible that often these two are brought back and forth. Hebrews 12:29 says, "Our God is a consuming fire." Malachi 3:2 says, "But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and the launderer's soap." Come on, do you see that? A fire that cleanses. He's like a soap that scrubs. Man, I love that. A soap that scrubs. You need a past that's removed from your life. You need to get out from the torment of the mistakes that you made yesterday that the enemy reminds you of. You don't need another counseling session. You don't need somebody else to convince you that you are the righteousness of God. You need the fire of God, like Ezekiel said, that shut up in my bones. Everywhere I go, I feel him. He's all over me. It's keeping me alive. Come on, it's the fire and the presence of God. I love this. Isaiah 4:4 says, "When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion," he's talking about the church, "and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning." What is he saying? He will purify Zion. He will purify the church with the spirit of burning. Matthew 3:11, Jesus said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Fire always falls on an offering. And I'm not getting ready to take our offering. That's not what I'm talking about. Some of you just clenched your pocketbooks real tight. But read through your Bible anytime God's people created an altar, the fire of God would consume it. I love even in the Old Testament where the prophets of Baal did everything that they could do to get the fire to come. And it says they danced and they cut themselves and they threw themselves on the altar and it did nothing. But the prophet said, "Go get the wood and wet it." I love that. What bold faith. I would be like, "Bring me the driest wood that you can possibly find. I want to do everything I can do to make sure that, you know, God has what he needs." But the prophet said, "No, watch this. Get the wettest wood." You know what I think that says? It doesn't matter the condition of how you get there. Wet, dry, seasoned, unseasoned. As long as you get yourself on an altar somewhere, the fire of God will fall. Remember what I opened up this sermon by saying is that he will never leave us without what we need. What he left us, church, is enough. If you walk away from anything this morning, I want you to remember this. I don't know what you will walk into tomorrow. I don't know what situation awaits you a month from now, but I want you to remember this sermon because I want you to know that whatever you face, he is enough. The Holy Spirit is enough. He's already there. He has you. You have him. All you have to do is ask and receive, and he will baptize you with a fresh fire. He will come and dwell on the inside of you. He will convince you and make you know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that our God is alive and well. It's the Spirit of God in our lives that makes the difference. Religion has never been able to change a person. It's never been able to do it. But the fire of God, the fire of God. So what is it that you need today? Because the fire is still falling. Where is there problems or hurt or pain? The Holy Spirit's still available. Let's stand to our feet. You know, I think of Jesus and I've been preaching a lot recently about the man at the pool of Bethesda for some reason. But one of the things that I saw in there recently is how that man had been there for 38 years and did life with those people, and how it was probably very difficult for him, even after his healing, to leave those people that he had been with. And I think about Jesus, who had been with his disciples and followers for 3.5 years. They ate together, they traveled together, they just did life together. These weren't sideline people to Jesus. These were his best friends. This was his crew. This was his camp. And I almost think of Jesus standing on that mountain, looking at his tribe, his people, his disciples, his mother, all those who had gathered around him and followed him that he loved so much, realizing in his heart that he would have to say bye to them for now and would not see them face to face until they reached heaven. I think there had to be in the humanity side of Jesus some essence of that being a hard thing to do. But he was willing to do it because he knew what was coming is what they needed. And when we reject what he left to give us, listen, he left to give us the Spirit. He said, if I don't go, this is his words. He said, if I don't go, then he can't come. He thought it important enough to go so it could come. With whatever you're facing today, whatever the trial is, the Spirit of God is available in this place. Just want you just, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to do two things. First, I want to extend an opportunity that if you are in the room today or you're watching online and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, you've known about religion and you've walked through Bible stories and maybe you attended church as a child, but you've never asked Jesus to be real and save you, then this is your moment. I'm going to count to three. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you. I just want you to slip your hand up so I can acknowledge you're praying with us today. If that's you, go ahead and slip your hand up. Ready? 1, 2, 3. All right. So I want us all to pray this prayer together. If you're praying this for the first time, I want you to pray it with all of your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I stand before you now. And I confess that I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior. And I confess and believe in my heart that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again on the third day to give me eternal life. And I receive by faith that free gift of God. And I can believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that in this moment I am saved. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together. Now, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, we want to put some resources in your hand to help you get started on your journey of faith. I want you to go buy Connections or scan the QR code and just let somebody know that you received today. And we'll put some resources in your hand to get you started on your journey of faith. But now I told you that receiving the Spirit is the same as receiving salvation. It's just saying, Holy Spirit, I receive you. So if you're in the room today, I'm gonna do the same thing, every head bowed, every eye closed. And maybe you received the Spirit of God a long time ago and you're drained out. You need a fresh fill. Or maybe you've known about God, but you've never asked the Holy Spirit to set you on fire. And we're gonna do that today. So I want you just to pray this with all of your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, I thank you for coming, for being available. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to baptize me with fire, that you would be all-consuming, that you would set me on fire, drive out anything that's contrary to the will of God. Lead me, guide me, convict me, make me holy, make me new. In Jesus' name, I receive it by faith. Amen. Amen. Come on, if you received that this morning, say amen. Now, whether you feel anything or not, you believe by faith that you received it.